Okay, we'll start over. Good morning and happy Sabbath. How many people know Esther over there? Well, I'm going to tell you a story about Esther. So every time you see Esther, you'll remember this story. When Esther was 3 years old, we moved to a little place in North Carolina called Pine Haven Village. Now, Pine Haven Village was on Baden Lake, and there were no stores to this village. There were no buildings in this village, just houses, mostly summer cottages. But we moved there to live all year long. And we had one thing we loved to do, and that was swim. Well, Eileen and I loved to swim. Esther, on the other hand, was kind of afraid of the water, and so was her brother. So we would walk down. It was about 2 blocks away, but they weren't really blocks. It was out in the country, you know. And so we would walk to the public access every day from May to October. We could swim. So almost every day you'd find us in the water, even if it was only for a little while. And we would find Esther and her big brother, Ronnie J., would play around the edge of the water and kind of wade a little bit and play in the sand and have a lot of fun. Well, one day, big sister Eileen and I decided it was time that Esther learn how to swim. Now, we thought it was a great idea, but Esther didn't think it was a great idea. And she didn't want to go in that water. But finally, we were able to convince her to go in that water. And we took her, we promised we would not let her go, but we would just kind of put our arms underneath her so that she could feel the water and learn how to swim. Well, things were going pretty well. And all of a sudden, she goes, "Ow!" And she took off for the shore just like a bullet. She ran so fast back to the shore. I thought, what in the world? And so I went and followed her. And she said, "A fish bit me. It came right up and it bit me." And sure enough, a fish had bit her. She had a round pink spot where the fish had gotten her. And do you know what? We couldn't get her back in the water for anything. We told her, "Oh, that'll never happen again. That we've been in the water for years and we've never been bit by a fish." But she said, "No, I am not going back in that water." And it was years and years and years before we could convince her to go back in the water. Now, sometimes we can get bit by the fish of sin. Something will happen. Maybe one of our friends does something that they shouldn't do, but they convince us that we should try it too. And that sin can bite just as surely as Miss Esther got bit by that fish. But we can do like Esther did and never do it again. Just stay out of the water. And if our friends say, "Oh, come on, do it again," we can say, "No, we got bit by that old sin fish, and we're not going to get bit again." So how many of you will say with me, "I will run out of away from sin just as fast as Esther did out of that water. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can keep us out of the water of sin and keep those fish of sin from biting us. Help us always to stay close to you. And remember, if sin does bite us, that we can run away from sin. Just get out of that sin water. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now time for our morning prayer. If you have a blue card, you can fill it out at this time. If you haven't filled it out yet, you can fill it out and put it in the offering plate, and it'll get on our prayer list. But anyway, if you want to come forward, you can. Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness toward us, for the wonderful works that you do among us. We thank you for this Sabbath day, the day you set apart to be with us, and the day that you spend with us. We pray that your Spirit would guide our thoughts today and be with Jim as he gives the message today, that all will gain a blessing and glorify you. We pray for these cards, requests on them, and the requests of each of us as we each have our own things that we would like. And we just want to thank you for answering them. Thank you for your goodness and pray that you'd help each of us to be thankful for what we have. We ask you to guide and lead us today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. Today's offering appeal is focused on the Guam Micronesia Mission. The Guam Micronesia Mission, GMM, affiliated with the North American Division, serves the people of the Western Pacific Ocean. Headquartered in Guam, GMM oversees the work in 21 churches and operates 11 schools, 2 healthcare clinics, a radio station, and a bookstore. Out of a population of nearly 400,000 people on the 92 islands, so about the size of Wichita, almost 6,000 are Adventists. 120 Adventists are serving as volunteer missionaries in GMM, but they need 157 student missionaries each year and are looking to fill more than 100 vacancies. First slide. Since January 2018, Mid-American Union has supported the Chuuk and Patas schools in GMM by encouraging members and college students to serve as volunteer missionary teachers. MAU also provides Chuuk and Patas schools financial support through this annual offering. The Chuuk Adventist School K-12 on Weno Island has 146 students and a list of students who would like to attend it. It needs 3 teachers and someone to do maintenance. The school also needs $6,500 to replace the school truck. Your offering will help meet this need. Pata had a thriving elementary school for a few years, but without volunteer teachers, they have not been able to hold classes for the past few years. GMM would love to reopen this school. Pata is about an hour boat ride from Weno. This school is chartered for kindergarten to 6th grade and needs 2 teachers. Thank you for your offering to support them today. The deacons will now serve you. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we remember you as the Creator. And we know, Lord, it is you that gives the ability to get wealth. And as we return our tithes and offerings today, we ask that you would exceedingly bless it and bless the GMM division. And we thank you, Lord, and we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Today we'll be reading John 15:11 from the King James Version. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, Church. You don't sound that happy. Happy Sabbath. It's good to be back. I think this is my home church, my Thanksgiving home church. This is two Thanksgiving in a row, amen. And I'm so glad to be back here to see familiar faces and people who loves the Lord, amen. And such a beautiful song there from the choir. Praise God for always reminding us that soon and very soon we will see our Lord. Amen? Amen. Redemption draweth nigh. And every Sabbath should be a reminder for us that we are another Sabbath nearer to His coming. Amen. And friends, there's a lot of reason to be joyful. There's a lot of reason to look forward to. And this morning, as you have seen the title of our sermon, it is the joy of the cross. So this morning, I have a suggestion. I have a proposition or proposal. I'm not going to do a wedding proposal, but I have this one proposal that we should accept this thought that there's joy in the cross. Amen? Amen? Amen. And we have to look back on the lives of our pioneers, the lives of the martyrs. Why they do the things that they did if there's no joy in it? Why would Silas and Paul go back to the same place where they were caught preaching? Why would they do that if there's no joy in the cross? So this morning, before we go on with the message the Lord gives us, let us kneel down for a word of prayer. For those of you who are able to kneel down, please kneel down with me. Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we come before You. We humble ourselves before You, dear Father, for You deserve our worship. You deserve our praises, our thanksgiving. And Lord, we praise and we thank You for giving us so many things, even things that we neglect to be thankful and to be joyful for. Oh, thank You for this church. Thank You for this place wherein we could freely gather and worship You. And most especially, dear Father, we'd like to praise and thank You for You, for who You are, for who You have been to us. And thank You, Lord, for this season of thanksgiving, that we have been reminded, dear Father, that there's a lot of things that we are so blessed with. So this morning, dear Lord, please accept our heartfelt thanksgiving and praise. And we know that our hearts could not even compose, or our lips could not even utter the things that we need to be thankful for. But Lord, I pray that You please accept this. And Lord, I ask in a very special way as well that You please prepare our hearts for what You're about to do to us today. And dear God, I ask that You please anoint each one of us with the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. Baptize us, O Lord, and please fill this room with Your presence. For You have promised that where two or three are gathered, that You are in the midst of us. So Lord, we know that right now that You are here. So Lord, please give us a sense of Your presence. And Lord, thank You so much for reminding us that without You, we are nothing. But when we have You, we have everything. So Lord, may our hearts be ready to receive the joy that You're about to give us today. And Lord, we pray this in the loving name of Your Son, Jesus, all Your children say, amen. Thank you, Sister Alicia, for reading our scripture reading this morning. John 15, verse 11, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Your joy might be what? Might be full. Who should be the most joyful people in the world? Us, we should be. We profess to know the truth, and we profess to have the living God, and we should be the most joyful people on the planet Earth. Amen? And this morning, I'd like to share with you something that I have observed while I was traveling. While I was traveling like 2 years ago, I went to this Asian country that I really wanted to go, but I did not have the chance until 2 years ago. I went to Korea and I went to Japan. And friends, this place, I have noticed that, oh, I'm so at home because these people are the same height as me. And these people walk so fast, faster than me. All the while, I thought that I'm a fast walker. But these people walk so fast. And even in escalators, they still walk fast. Back home in escalators, it's like a ride. But these people walk so fast. And I did not even realize that there is a place for you to stand and to walk in escalators. These people really walk so fast. And I remember my friend and I, together with her son. Her son is like 3 years old. And we went to our church there in Japan. And we left the house around 5:30. And we got to the podium for the train around 6. And I did not realize that that is like the peak hours. And friends, there's a lot of people in that place. And you know, here in the U.S., when you see a lot of people, you're imagining stampede right away. There is just like normal. Like every single day, there's just like lots and lots of people who are there. And I was so afraid, not for myself, but for the little boy, because I have seen videos in YouTube about train pushers in Japan. I don't know if you've seen it. Huh? There in the platform, in the train station, there are designated train pushers. And these are the people who will push people in so that people will fit. Just imagine that. So there's so many people that they have to be pushed in inside the train. And here in the U.S., if someone touches you, like, what's your problem? But there in Japan, people are being pushed and then they're just doing this. And I was so afraid because, you know what, of this little boy. And I'm thinking, oh, this little boy will die. But friends, by the grace of God, we don't need train pushers during that time. There's just a lot of people. And you know what, Japan is a rich country. And most of the Filipinos wants to go to Japan to have a good life. But one thing that I discovered in Japan, that I've observed in Japan and also in Korea while I was going around, these people are so focused on their, like us, but there's more there. So people are so stuck in this packed train, but they're not talking to one another. They're not looking at one another. They're just so focused. And I could see there's this uniform facial expression, sadness, emptiness. And I look around, as I walk around as well, as I was walking in the train station and all, I could see this just like this blank face, also in Korea. And then I realized, Lord, why is this so? And somehow the Lord reminded me, because they have not known Jesus. Friends, just imagine living a life without God, living a life without Jesus. That's a huge disadvantage. Would you agree? And you know what's the saddest thing? It's not that. The saddest thing, as I go from church to church, from place to place, I discover similar faces inside our church. Whoa. And that's a problem. We are the people who profess to have known the Lord that gives us joy. Remember this beautiful verse, Psalm 16 verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Amen. Not just joy, but what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And it's a sad thing, because when we hear about pleasure, the next thing that comes to our mind is worldly pleasure, isn't it? Pleasure is always associated to worldly pleasures. But my dear friends, I'd like to tell you this morning, the author of pleasure is God. Amen? And what the Lord offers is not actually true pleasure. It might be pleasurable, but that's not true as pleasure, because the next day you have consequences. But with God, there's no consequences. He offers you pure pleasure, unadulterated pleasure. This is what is available for each one of us. And this is one thing that saddened me, Because if we are this church who profess to believe in a powerful God, on the loving God, on a joyful God, who's in His presence is fullness of joy, then why is it not found? So this morning, bear with me, I have three observations. This is not written in stone, but this might be your observation as well. And why don't we have this joy that Jesus Himself has promised? He says that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be what? Might be full. Who among you here desires to have joy this morning? Oh, praise the Lord. Who among you here does not want joy? Praise the Lord. No one. Okay. Everything that we work for, everything that we do in our lives is for the ultimate goal of finding happiness, isn't it? Huh? The pursuit of happiness is one thing that we are driving for. Why do you study the career that you study right now? Because later on, you want to have a wonderful career, you want to earn money, you want to be happy. Why do you desire to have that someone to be your wife or to be your husband? Because you want to end up, what? Happy. And if that's the thing, I'm thinking, oh man, I'm gonna be miserable. I don't have a wife until now. And I'm thinking, if that is really our goal, the married couple should be the happiest people in the world. Amen. I hear some chuckling here. Friends, I propose that this morning, happiness is found in the cross. Joy is found in the cross. Amen? So let us move on. So I'd like to go on with the first observation that I had. The first observation, why don't we have this joy and peace that the Lord has promised? The first one is, we plan for ourselves and not for the glory of God. Have you noticed? Who among you here has plans? Please raise your hands. Don't worry, I have plans too. The question is, are we really planning for God or are we planning for ourselves? Who among you here are planning for yourselves? Don't raise your hands. Just agree in your heart. Most of our plans are about us, not really for God. And this is one thing I realize as well, because I'm the kind of guy who has a lot of plans. Growing up, you observe I stopped growing. Growing up, I was really wanting to be successful in life, this and that. I even have timeline. At the age of 25, I will have my own business. At the age of 30, I will earn my first million. At the age of 35, I will get married, settle down. I'm still single right now. And I'm not advertising. And then I'm thinking of all these plans. When I wrote that, whoa, God was not in those plans. God was not the priority in those plans. And I asked my friend as well, and he said, yes, God is in my plans. I said, which role does God play in your plans? And he said, He's the troubleshooter. Isn't it right? When our plans are not going the way we want it, then we include God. We kneel down, Lord, please. Or sometimes we even blame God. So, I'd like to read this beautiful quote here. From Help in Daily Living, it says, Many are unable to make definite plans for the future. Their life is unsettled. They cannot discern the outcome of affairs. And this often fills them with anxiety and unrest. Can you relate to this? Don't raise your hands. Just say, mm-hmm. Let us remember that the life of God's children in this world is a pilgrim life. Is a what? You know what, friends? Since I've been traveling all the time, I'm reminded that this is not our final stop. Amen? This is not our final destination. We are only having a layover here. I know you love Kansas so much. But this is not your final destination. Huh? I know that the weather here is spectacular. But heaven's weather is amazing. Amen? Sometimes we forget Sometimes we forget. And this is one thing that we do. We plan out so much on our little span of life here on this earth that we somehow miss out on planning for eternity. Did you get this? Not just for us, we even plan for our kids. We desire for our kids to be the most wonderful, distinct individuals in the community. But are we preparing them for the community in heaven? Friends, the reason why joy is devoid in our lives because we are not really planning for eternity. We are not including God in our plans. We plan for ourselves and not for the glory of God. Let me continue reading. It says here, we have not wisdom to plan for our own lives. It is not for us to shape our future. Wow. We have no wisdom to plan for our own lives. It is not for us to shape our future. Who can shape our future, friends? God. Friends, who knows the end from the beginning? Who knows what's going to happen next week? God, can you? No one knows this is going to happen 5 minutes from now. No one even knows that I'm going to do this. Only God knows, amen? So if God is the only one who knows it, why not leave your plans to Him? Does that make sense? And that's the reason why we are so overwhelmed so much. We are carrying the weight that we should not be carrying. And that weight is squeezing joy out of our lives. Friends. And by the way, who is our greatest example? Jesus. Who? Everyone agrees? This time I want to see your hands. Okay. Oppose? Okay, no one. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Christ, in His life on earth, made no plans for Himself. Wow. Isn't this interesting? Christ in His life on earth made no plans for Himself. And I'm thinking, well, that's quite irresponsible. But listen to this next line. He accepted God's plan for Him. And day by day, the Father unfolded His plans. This is one amazing thing, friends. If you do not have plans for yourself, if you follow how Jesus lived His life, the Father, the same Father who unfolded His plans to Jesus, will unfold His plan in your life. Can you say amen? Isn't that amazing? The God who knows your future will unfold His plans in front of you. Oh, so should we depend upon God, that our lives may be the simple outworking of His will. As we commit our ways to Him, He shall direct our steps. Isn't this beautiful? As we commit our ways to Him, He shall what? Direct our steps. Friends, who among you here trusts Siri or the GPS or Google Maps? Sometimes, yeah? But sometimes they get us lost. Google Maps will tell you, in the next 200 meters, turn left, and then you lost your way. Yeah, right. Friends, God will never get you lost. And you know what? It's not just He will tell you how many miles, but He will direct your every step. Isn't this beautiful? He will direct our steps. Friends, this is such an amazing thing. But most of the time, when our plans are the ones involved, no one can touch our plans. We don't want to sacrifice our plans for God's because we don't know what God's plan for us is. And I had this beautiful reading from Mark 10. And I would want for you to read that later on. Remember this rich young ruler who came to the Lord? And sometimes when I read things, I don't really sit down and study. I'm a very, I'm like an OCD type of, ADHD. There's a lot of things sometimes taking my attention. That's why the Lord is telling us to be still and know that He is God. Amen. And I have a misconception of this young rich ruler, because all the while I thought that he is just a proud ruler that doesn't want to give up everything to follow Christ. But the more I read about this, I could see the sincerity of this rich young ruler. And friends, you know what? He's like us. And he was so amazed when he saw Jesus mingling with the kids. And he was taken by this joy that he sees in Jesus' face. He was taken by the compassion. And listen to this thought, friends. This is from the spirit of prophecy. It says here, the young man who asked this question, remember what was the question? What must I do to be what? To be saved. Was a ruler. He had great possessions and occupied a position in of responsibility. He saw that the love of Christ manifested toward the children brought to him. He saw how tenderly he received them and took them in his arms, and his heart kindled with love for the Savior. He felt a desire to be his disciple. Just imagine, friends, just imagine being there in front of Jesus. We are just talking about Jesus. But being there in front of Jesus himself, our Lord Jesus. So he has this picture of Jesus, and he says, he was so deeply moved that as Christ was going on his way, he ran after him. Did you get this? He was desperate. He ran after him and kneeling at his feet. Whoa, I did not even saw this. It was written in the Bible. He knelt at the feet of Jesus, begging him to stop his tracks. Listen, kneeling at his feet, asked with sincerity and earnestness the question so important to his soul, to the soul of every human being. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Friends, Christ looked on to the face of the young man as if reading his life and searching his character. He loved him and he hungered. Christ hungered to give him that peace and grace and joy. And what? And joy, which would materially change his character. One thing thou lackest, he said, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Friends, the moment he heard that, what happened? His heart sank. Oh no. How about my plans? Did you get this? He has great possession and position. How about my plans? Listen, friends. It says, the ruler was quick to discern that all Christ's worth, that discerned all that Christ's words involved, and he became sad. Let me read that again. The ruler was quick to discern all that Christ's words involved, and he became sad. But listen to this next line. If he had realized the value of the offered gift, quickly he would have enrolled himself as one of Christ's followers. This is the sad thing, friends. Listen to this. Jesus saw his potential. This is why the Lord was somehow wanting him to be part of his disciple. Listen, friends, if he would place himself under Christ's guidance, he would be a power for good. Did you get this? If he just placed himself under Christ's guidance, he would be a power for good. In a marked degree, the ruler could have represented Christ. He had possessed qualifications which, if he were united with the Savior, would enable him to become a divine force among men. Wow. This rich young ruler continued to be an unnamed young ruler because he did not take on Christ's offer. He was not even named. He could have been one of those apostles, of those disciples that have been given by God the sacred task, and who could have impacted the world. But he saw that his plans would be messed up if he followed God. Listen, friends, Christ seeing into the character loved him. Love for Christ was awakened in the ruler's heart, for love begets love. Jesus longed to see him a co-worker with him. He longed to make him like himself, a mirror in which the likeness of God would be reflected. He wanted heavenly treasure. Who among you here wanted heavenly treasure? Of course, all of us. But he also wanted the temporal advantages his riches would bring him. He was so sorry that such conditions existed. He desired eternal life, but he was not willing to make the sacrifice. Friends, it says here, the cost of eternal life seemed too great, and he went away sorrowful. Because he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful. What was the offer that Christ gave? Love, peace, and joy. But he went away sorrowful. Friends, again, I'd like to suggest that this morning, joy is only found in the presence of God. Friends, with what deep interest he watched the issue as the young man weighed the question. If he decided to follow Christ, he must obey his words in everything. And this is one thing I see here in the picture that God is giving us. He watched with deep interest. Christ was looking at him and looking at his heart and somehow yearning, please choose me. Did you get this? Please choose my plans for you. Christ was looking with deep interest. And friends, most of the time we don't want to follow the Lord's ways because it will require a sacrifice. You agree? But it is really a sacrifice. Listen to this, friends. It will require a sacrifice to give up your plans or yourself to God. But it is a sacrifice of the lower for the higher. The earthly for the spiritual. The perishable for the eternal. Friends, what is the definition of sacrifice? Giving up something of value for something that of a lower value. Huh? Isn't it? Am I right? But friends, if we are giving up something from a lower to a higher, is that a sacrifice? What do you call that? An upgrade. Did you get this, friends? This is one thing I realized. When God is asking us to surrender something, you know what that means? You are ready for an upgrade. We are ready for an upgrade. But sometimes we hang on to our little Nokia 5110. Lord, I love these little buttons. This little yellow screen. And you don't want to give it up. But God is holding an iPhone 11 Max Pro. 512 gigabytes. All paid for with Apple Care. And you don't want to let go of the little thing. Friends, that example fails into comparison of what God desires for us. Amen? And yet we hang on to it. And this is one thing, one of my fears before of having no plans and letting the Lord plan for me. And it's quite scary and it's quite funny as well, because before when I was planning for my life, I was so stressed out. Who among you here is stressed? Don't raise your hand. Just like nod. Mm-hmm. Planning for your life is quite so stressful. And friends, when I surrendered this life to the Lord, I told God, okay, Lord, from now on, you plan for me. Because the Lord was somehow bringing me one step after another. And God is so amazing that he doesn't want us to be surprised, to be scared, to be totally shocked. He walks at our own pace. Isn't it amazing? Our God, who's faster than light, young people, you know, this morning we talked about the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, just 1 second, and 6 times has it revolved the earth. And our God is faster than light, but he walks at our own pace. Isn't our God amazing? So when the Lord somehow asked me to give up my finances and all, the next thing that he asked me to do was give up my plans for life. And I was scared, but I was seeing that he was the one planning for me. And one particular time, I think this is like almost a year into my missionary work, my sister asked me this question. Hey, Jem, what's your plan in life? And I said, the Lord's planning for me. I said, are you really taking this missionary life seriously? I said, of course. And I said, why did you ask that? And then she said, do you have insurance? Do you have this? Do you have that? And then she suggested, why not follow your nephew? He has He has a regular work, and he has this Medicare, he has this insurance and all. You don't have any security. And I got scared. And then she asked me, how about later on when you will have a family? How can you support your family? I'm thinking, oh Lord, I could not even support a goldfish. How much more a wife? I was scared. And then I was thinking, oh Lord, how should I do this? And I begin asking God, Lord, should I apply? Should I accept invitations for me to work in this place, in that place? And the Lord was silent. And friends, one thing that taught me, you know why the Lord is silent? This is me and God. Because I talk too much. So the Lord always gives me this beautiful verse, Psalms 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. So the Lord is always reminding me, Jem, be still. I am God. You are not God. So shut up. We need that, friends, don't we? So we sometimes forget that God is the one in charge, not us. And God knows the end from the beginning. So friends, that particular time I was praying to the Lord, I'm sorry. Sometimes we are not aware that we are moving ahead of God. So I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Now, help me to be still. So I said, Lord, I give that to you. The moment I said that, a few hours later, I was receiving messages, emails, and the emails went like this. Hey, Jem, can you do a week of prayer in our place, in that place? One after another, friends, in just 2 or 3 days, my whole 3 months was filled up. After that 3 months, the Lord taught me, now you see, this is me planning for you. After the 3 months, friends, I learned something. I have to surrender to the Lord. Sometimes we say we surrender to the Lord, but not really all. I surrender all. No, we're not. So after the 3 months, friends, you know what the Lord did? The Lord filled my 6 months. After that 6 months, I said to myself, Lord, please help me not to put my fingers in your plans. Not to mess up with your plans. And you know what the Lord did? After that 6 months, the Lord filled in a year and a quarter in advance. This is the God that we serve who sees the end from the beginning. And He desires to plan your life. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. Most of the time, we will not get to know what God's plan for us is. You know why? Because we are not willing to give up our plans for Him. Friends, trust Him. Remember that beautiful verse, Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Oh, thank you now. At least you're listening. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. So this morning, God is telling you, trust me with your plans. Trust me with your heart. Because if you do, I will exchange it for joy. I will exchange it for peace. Isn't it beautiful, friends? Let's go to the next reason why we don't experience that peace and joy that the Lord has promised. What is the first reason again? Oh, praise God. We plan for what? For ourselves and not for the glory of God. Oh, by the way, I have a solution for that here. Listen to this thought. Too many in planning for a brilliant future make an utter failure. Whoa. Too many in planning for a brilliant future make a what? An utter failure. You know what the suggestion is? It is the Holy Spirit's suggestion as well. Let God plan for you. Can you say amen? At least 5 people agreed. Can you say amen? Let God plan for you. So the next reason why we don't have the peace and joy that the Lord has promised is because we rely so much on our own strength. Remember, trust in the Lord with what? And lean not on your own understanding. And that is the problem with us. We rely so much on our training. We rely so much on our education. We rely so much on our experience. Those are good. But you should not rely fully on them. Rely on whom? Rely on God. Rely on God. And when the Lord tells you to do so, then use whatever He has equipped you with. Amen? But most of the time, it's the other way around. We rely so much on our own understanding, on our own training, on our own strength, and we jump off from there. Friends, do not jump off without the Lord's leading. Let me go on here. It says, oh, even Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. If Christ himself said that, who are we to say that we can do without God? Amen? That's John 5 verse 30. And one beautiful thought here from this book, My Utmost to His Highest, Oswald Chambers, he says, the greatest blessing spiritually is the knowledge that we are destitute. That is the greatest blessing spiritually. Is the knowledge that we are what? You know what's the common interpretation for destitute? Nothing. It's the knowledge that we are nothing. Until we get there, our Lord is powerless. He can do nothing for us if we think that we are sufficient of our own strength. We have to enter into this kingdom, into His kingdom through the door of destitution. And I love this beautiful quote as well from Signs of the Times, August 24, 1891, paragraph 9. It says, whatever prevents us from making Christ our entire dependence is abomination in the sight of God. Whatever prevents us from making Christ our entire dependence is abomination in the sight of God. And friends, you know the story. I don't have to reiterate this. I shared this last Wednesday. Remember, God always used the almost useless instruments to win great victories. Remember Gideon and his 300? Huh? Friends, 300 versus the Midianites and the Amalekites. You know how many they are? The Midianites, they are like the sand of the seashore. Like the locusts in number with camels, like a numberless. And against the 32,000 men. And these 32,000 men, friends, they are not fighters. They were not trained warriors. They were trained construction workers. And 32,000 is nothing compared to the numberless warriors. And yet the Lord reduced them to 10. The Lord always uses insignificance to prove to Him that it's not our strength. That it's not our strength that wins the battle. It's not our size. It's the size of our God. Amen? Amen. And they were even equipped with useless weapons. You know what they were given? A pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. Pitcher, this is not a food festival. Trumpet, this is not a choral festival, friends. And torch, what are they going to do with the torch? The Lord equipped them with something that they could not lean on, that they may lean fully on God. Amen? This is one thing that the Lord is teaching us. Lean on me and not on those things. Beautiful thought here, listen. The Lord can do but little for the children of men because they are so full of pride and vainglory. They exalt self, magnifying their own strength, learning, and wisdom. It is necessary for God to disappoint their hopes and frustrate their plans, that they may learn to trust in Him alone. That's the Lord's greatest point. That's the Lord's greatest desire, that we may trust in Him alone. Amen? I love to give this story. I met this guy, I guess 5 years ago. I met this guy in Army Bible Camp. And his name is Sam. Sam is a tall guy. He's a young guy. He was 16 or 15 during the time. I met him again when I did a week of prayer in their school, Oklahoma Academy. So while I was there, it was just like after summer. This is their, I guess, their first few months in the class. And then his friends told me while we were having dinner in the cafeteria, oh, Brother Jim, you have to listen to Sam's, what's this, accomplishments. He is the highest in our canvassing program. And Sam was telling me, no, Brother Jim, it was all God. And then they were somehow teasing him, no, he's just trying to be humble, but he was really awesome. And Sam said, no, Brother Jim, I'll tell you later. So the moment we finished dinner, he put his arm around me and he talked to me. He said, Brother Jim, you just don't know how scared I am of this canvassing program. You know, English is not my first language. He's from Colombia. English is not my first language, and I have not sold anything in my life. So now we're knocking on people's door, talking to strangers and selling them some things that that I have not sold before? This scared me. So, and I said, what did you do? So, I spent so much time on my knees. I asked the Lord, Lord, please help me out. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to say these things. So friends, sure enough, the Lord led Sam. Every single day, the Lord led him, almost every person that he meets buys books from him. He is selling like 30 to 40 books per day. Isn't that crazy? So he was really blown away by the Lord's goodness. One time, he was in one of the parking lots. I don't remember it was Target or Walmart. He was there in the parking lot and he was asking God, Lord, please lead me to the right vehicle. Lead me to a soul who needs to hear this. So he was led by God in this car. And then he knocked. The moment he knocked the first knock, he was saying to himself, oh no. Because he saw this guy inside this car holding a gun. And this guy, the moment this guy noticed that there's a person outside of his car, he turned around with eyes glaring. He opened the window and said, what do you want? Remember, Sam is not American. So he said, the Lord sent me here. Which is true, amen? And the moment this person heard, the Lord sent me here, this person broke down. And he said, you know what? You are the third person that disrupted my plans of killing my life, of killing myself. For sure, the Lord sent you here. And slowly but surely, Sam talked to the guy, and later on he extended his hand, put his hand on the shoulder of the guy because this guy was breaking down. He was weeping, and Sam prayed for this guy, and later on, this guy gave himself to Jesus. At the end of that conversation, he bought a book. Have you seen that book, Peace in the Storm? That is the book that he bought. Isn't it amazing, friends? This is what happens when God leads your life. This is what happens when God is the one leading and not us. Friends, we have all the reasons to give our heart to the Lord. To lean on Him fully, not holding back. Listen, friends, there's nothing so offensive to God or so dangerous to the human soul as pride and self-sufficiency. And this is one thing that the enemy wants us to be in, to be self-sufficient. When you're self-sufficient, friends, you don't need anything. You don't need God. You will not be able to lean on Him. You will not have the opportunity to be desperate before Him. And we need to be desperate before God. Listen to this. I love this beautiful thought here. From the soul that feels its need, nothing is withheld. Wow. From the soul that feels its need, nothing is withheld. The reason why the Lord wants you to rely on Him, because He wants to give Himself to you. From the soul that feels its need, nothing is withheld. How much do you need God? If you need God this much, then this is how much you get. But if you need God this much, and that much, and God will gladly give you exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Amen? Amen. God is not limited. We limit God by how much we need Him. How much do you need God in your life? Friends, we need Him desperately. We need Him to lead Him, to lead us. We need Him to plan our lives. We need Him that we could lean on someone who knows the end from the beginning. Last year, I was in Silver Springs, Maryland. It was the GC Annual Council. And that year, our prayer group family come together, and I praise God that I have my prayer family here, Sister Kat Taylor and Stephen McDonald. They're part of our GC prayer team. And this is the time that we come together and pray for our world church. It is such a privilege, Kat, isn't it? And in this group, I have met people that I consider stronger than my relatives. It's more than a family. So we come together and pray. But this time, this was, I guess, Stephen's second time coming to the prayer team. And during that time, he was flying with his family from Iceland. And they're arriving in the U.S. around 7 in the evening. And I'm thinking, by the way, they're arriving in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., from where I was staying, is 2 hours away. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there during Sabbath. Like, I don't want to get stuck in the traffic. And you know what? Your thoughts just leave you when you're stuck in the traffic. So I was there and I was praying, Lord, please lead me. We need the Lord's leading, don't we? And the Lord gave me this beautiful thought, this beautiful verse, Psalms 32, verse 8. That's a beautiful verse. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I'll guide you with mine eye. Isn't that a beautiful promise? The Lord promised to what? To instruct us and teach us and guide us. Friends, if God is the one teaching, guiding, and instructing us, will we ever get lost? Will we ever regret the journey? How about the destination? Never! So, I was there asking the Lord's leading. Lord, you know why I really asked the Lord's leading? Because I saw the price of Uber ride. The Uber ride cost me like $72 or $76. That's like a plane ride there. I'm thinking, oh Lord, this is too expensive, 70 plus. And I was, Lord, please give me more option. Friends, the Lord somehow brought my mind back to the Uber app. And in Uber app, there's an Uber pool. You know what Uber pool is? For those of you who have not taken Uber, because I know I have taken a lot of Uber. I don't know how to drive, friends. That's not a joke. I don't know how to drive. When people ask me, why don't you drive? I said, I was born to be driven. So, I was there. And I checked Uber pool, friends. You will be riding that car with other passengers. This guy will pick up other passengers. That's my first time of having Uber pool. Because you know what? It costs so much less. It costs only $32. And thinking, okay, this is way better than 70 plus. And so I was praying, Lord, so I want you to let me know, give me peace, what is the best time for me to schedule me Uber ride. And friends, remember, it's a 2 hour trip. They're arriving at 7. And I'm thinking, Lord, I need to be there on time. And the Lord had me go at 6 o'clock. And I'm thinking, this is quite tight. And God's instruction is so amazing. You know what? He had me go at 6 o'clock and delayed their flight by 1 hour. Isn't it amazing? Their flight was delayed for an hour. Actually, they arrived like past 8:30. So I was there. I was there waiting for my Uber ride at 6 o'clock. Actually, it's not sunset yet. But the Lord gave me peace. And while I was there waiting for my Uber ride, and you could see in the app, the car that you have chosen, you could see in the app how long is, how far, like 2 minutes, 1 minute. And this car, I don't know what happened to this car. It just went around and around and around. I'm thinking, this car is lost. This is a confused driver. So I waited for an extra 5 minutes. And later on, I finally saw the car, went out, and then picked me up. Friends, this is very strange ride, because I went in and the wind just blew the door, like shut, like bang. And the driver said, careful with my door, man. I said, I'm sorry, it was the wind. And this is an African American brother. He's big. He has this huge golden chain, the pendant, and then he has gold rings. He was really blinged. So he's yellow. So I was there. I was there sitting and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I just made him mad. So I asked him, how can I start this conversation? So I asked him, how's your day, bro? And he said, it's a good thing that the Lord led our conversation. He said, oh, there's a lot of things that I could complain about, but I chose not to complain. And I said, I like your attitude, man. God is good. And then he noticed that I'm a talkative guy. So he opened his window. And now he asked me, would you mind if I play some reggae? Do you know reggae? And I said, yes, I live in the islands, so I know reggae. And before I could even say, please don't, the Lord shut my mouth. So he played reggae. I'm thinking, oh Lord, getting stuck in a vehicle for 2 hours listening to reggae, and it's still Sabbath. And friends, he was there, and he was driving now, and I agreed to say reggae. It somehow like softened his heart. And then he asked me a question. He said, so, are you from here? I said, no, I'm just visiting. So, oh, where are you from? Said, I told you, I'm from the islands, from the Philippines. So while he was driving, so how long are you going to stay here? Oh, I'll only be here for like 10 days and then go to another place and another place and another place. I told him about my trips. And then he told me, so wow, you travel so much. I said, yes. So what's your job? I told him, I'm an assassin. And he told me, that caught his attention. He looked at me. I told him I'm an assassin. And I told him, no, I'm joking. I'm a missionary. He said, oh, okay. So he asked me this question. So tell me, what do you do? I said, oh, so I shared with him testimonies. And he was saying, wow. And you know what happened? He turned down the volume of the music. And little by little, he closed the window. And now he's asking me more questions. And then he was saying, wow, that's amazing, man. I said, yes, we have an amazing God. And every time he gives me a compliment, I bring it back to God. And then later on, he began to open up. He told me, you know what? Sometimes I have this question, if God really exists. I said, why do you ask that? I said, because if God really exists, why do I experience this pain, this suffering and all? Yet just this past 2 months, two of my closest people in my life passed away. Gang violence, friends. And that place is one of the heaviest gang fights that happens there in Maryland. And then I told him, you know what? Sometimes we could not understand why things are happening, but this is the thing that I'd like to tell you. Remember, you told me we have a lot of things to complain about, but it's still our choice in the end to be happy. Look back and how God has been so good in your life, and you could see a lot of evidence that God has been faithful. Amen? So friends, he was beginning to open up, and he told me, you know what? I don't even have the desire to go right now and work, if not for my kids, for my two daughters. By the way, he's divorced. So if not for my two daughters who are sick right now, if not for my bills, I would just stay back in my apartment and not do anything. He said, it's like I don't have any reason to go out. And I said, you know what, bro? There's a lot of reasons to go out. And friends, during this conversation, the Lord convicted me. Hey, give him what I've given you last week. Friends, one person gave me $100 a week previous to that. And the Lord convicted him, give him what I have given you last week. And then asked the Lord, all of it? And the Lord said, yes, all of it. I'm thinking, okay, it's the Lord's money anyways. So friends, usually I give tips, but not $100 tips, friends. And usually when we give tips, when do we give tips? At the end. But this time, the conviction that God has given me, give it to him now. And when the Lord's strong conviction, you could not delay it. So, friends, I took on my $100, folded it, and gave him. And I said, Sean, this is for you. And then he looked at me. He said, what's this? That's for you. I said, what's this? That's from the Lord. He said, what? That's from the Lord. He said, take it. And then he banged his wheel. He said, you just don't know. And then I was beginning to be like, you just don't know. I said, come down, bro, come down. I was afraid that he was going to punch me. You just don't know, Jim. You just don't know. And friends, he was looking at me, and I was afraid that we'll have an accident. I said, look at the road, bro. And then he told me, you just don't know. I'm in a 2 month depression. I didn't want to leave the house. And this morning, I woke up at 5 a.m. I'm not an early riser, but I woke up at 5 a.m. And I don't know why, but somehow there's this voice that's ringing in my head. I'm going to do something special for you today. And I told him, Sean, That's the Holy Spirit. And he banged his will again. That's why you just don't know. And then he told me, you don't know, Jim. I have not picked up an Uber pool before. I have not picked up an Uber pool. If you have seen in the app that I was going around and around and around because I was deciding not to pick you up. And somehow all of a sudden I just clicked accept and I didn't know why I was trying to reject you, but I can't. I said, you are my first Uber pool. And I told him, you're my first Uber pool too. But then when you came in my vehicle, you were quite chatty. And I don't want to talk. And then when you came in, you slammed my door and said, it's the wind. And friends, he was sharing with me all of these things. And you see, friends, it's God who orchestrated everything. Why? Because we asked him. Because I asked him. The Lord really wants to lead our lives. It would have been a boring 2-hour ride, friends. But it was one of the most beautiful rides in my life. So while we were driving, he began to open up his life to me. He has abandonment issues. His mom abandoned him. His first girlfriend sent him to prison. His wife divorced him. It was just like one devastation after another. This is a broken man. So right now they said, "This, you know what, Jim, you just don't know what this means. This really means a lot. This somehow gives me something that I have not seen before." So while we were driving, I'm thinking, Lord, this is an Uber pool. His phone rang. His phone rang and there was this text message that came in. Another passenger needs to be picked up. I'm thinking, oh Lord, if the passenger comes in, our conversation will be cut off. So I was praying and Sean said, no, this is an exclusive call. Reject. Of course, I paid him $130+ now. But it was amazing, friends. We had an amazing conversation and before he dropped me off, he told me, Jim, I know that you have given me a lot already, but I have one more request. I said, what's that, Sean? Can you pray for me before you leave the vehicle? I told him, Sean, even if you didn't ask, I'll still pray for you. Friends, it's amazing because that Sabbath, after I got out of the church, I was just compelled to take glow tracks and booklets and all. Guess where it went? To Sean. I gave him my card as well and I told him, Sean, I don't have $100 more, but whenever you need prayer, call me. Amen. The moment we stopped, I prayed for him. And this big, bulky guy told me, Jim, you know what? It doesn't make sense. You're the one, you're a poor missionary. You told me you don't earn anything. And then you have given me this. This is really of God. And then he said that. And then I could see tears about to swell in his eyes. I gave him a hug. And friends, I said goodbye. And while I was walking away, I'm thinking, wow, only God could make that happen. Because God is the one who led. God is the one who directed. And friends, isn't that awesome? God wants to give us wonderful experiences, divine appointments, but we miss out on all those things because we lean so much on our comfort, we lean so much on our own plans, we lean so much on our own strength. Friends, just imagine how many times we have missed out on wonderful opportunities because we don't let God lead our lives. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart and lean not. Friends, let us review. What's the first reason why we don't have the peace and joy that the Lord has promised? We plan for ourselves and not for the glory of God. What's the solution? Let God plan for you. The second one is what? We lean so much on our own strength. And what's the solution? Lean on Him. Amen? Remember, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The two quotes, the two lines there are so powerful that we often forget the third one. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall what? direct your path. The reason why we always lose our way because we do not acknowledge God in our lives. The reason why we always lose our way, we always are disappointed, depressed, rejected, broken, is because it is not God who led us. Because we forgot to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Friends, the third reason why we don't have the peace and joy that the Lord has promised. Before I share that, I'd like to share this story with you. This is one of those stories that made me question the character of God. I'd like to make myself vulnerable right now to let you know that I had a lot of questions of God before. Remember the story of Canaan? When the Israelites were about to cross Canaan? And somehow they sent spies? How many spies did they send? 12 spies. And I'm thinking, Lord, why would you command them to send spies? Because if you read in Numbers 13 verses 1 and 2, I will not wait for you, I'll read here. Numbers 13 verses 1 and 2, and the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. So who commanded? The Lord, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. I'm thinking, Lord, this is like you are setting your people in a trap here. Does God know the end from the beginning? Does God knew that these people who were sent as spies, when they get out of Canaan, they will report negatively? Did the Lord see that? And why did the Lord send it? And that's one thing that's really bothering me. And me being an impatient little missionary, I closed my Bible and I said, Lord, you are unfair. I did not wait on Him. So I just like sulk in my, oh, this is not good. And then, you know, God is so patient with us. Amen. And one particular time, I was reading, and I came across this beautiful quote from Signs of the Times, September 2, 1880, paragraph 1. It says, the proposition to send men to search the land was first made by the people. Did you get this? The proposition to send men to search the land, it was first made by the people. It was not God's direct command, but it was their proposition. And while I was sharing this in Andrews, a friend of mine approached me, Jem, actually there's a support for the Bible from the Bible verse regarding the conversation. Deuteronomy 1 verse 22 and 23, it says, this is actually Moses relating to the Israelites before they crossed Jordan, before they surrounded Jericho. Moses reminded them, remember what happened in Canaan. Verse 22, it says, 1 verse 22, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us that they may search out the land. Whose idea was that? It was the Israelites' idea. It was not God's idea. Listen, friends. Listen to the next line here. But as it pleased Moses, he presented the matter before the Lord and obtained his consent for them to go. The result was disaster in destruction. Was the idea to search the land a good or a bad idea in general? In general, it's a good idea. You have to test the water first before you jump in. Friends, it's a good idea. It's a brilliant idea. But this is one thing. Listen to this. No matter how brilliant of an idea it is, if it's not God's idea, it's disaster. If it's not God's idea, it's disastrous. Listen to this next line. Had they waited for the Lord to say, go forward and follow the divine leader. Had they what? Had they waited on the Lord to say, go forward and follow the divine leader, they would have seen the majesty and glory of God as verily as they saw it 40 years afterwards. Isn't it heartbreaking, friends? Had they waited for the Lord to say, go forward, they would have seen majesty and glory that they would have seen 40 years afterwards. Had they what? Had they waited. Friends, the third reason why we don't have that peace and joy that the Lord has promised is because we do not wait on God. We talk about faith, we talk about trust, but we are really bad at waiting. We are really bad at waiting. And my friends tell me, "So Jem, how long should I wait?" As long as it takes. It's not worth the risk going ahead of God, friends. It's not worth the risk going ahead of God. Look at what happened to the Israelites. It cost them 40 years. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And later on I realized it did not just cost them 40 years. It cost them their lives. They were not able to enter Canaan. That generation who proposed that to Moses, that Moses proposed it to God, Moses accepted it, and even Moses was not allowed to go to Canaan. Friends, it's not worth to go ahead, God. It's not worth to make quick decisions without God. Amen? Friends, we don't know what the future holds. Only God holds the future. Isn't it wise to spend time at the foot of the cross? One more story, friends. This is in regards to Moses. I was blown away by this story because at first, this is one of those stories that made me question the character of God. I'm about to end here. Friends, remember Moses, when he committed that sin, he was not allowed to go to Canaan. Huh? That broke my heart. I'm thinking, Lord, this is how you reward your people. This is how you reward your faithful servant. Just one little sin and he was not allowed to go to Canaan. And if you read the Bible, if you read the patriarchs and prophets, a few chapters before he buried Aaron, his brother, his best friend. And a few chapters later, Moses was commanded by God, "You have to climb Mount Nebo. It is your time to die. But you will not be able to bring people with you." I'm thinking, wow, he was just depressed a while ago. Now it was his time to die. And when he was there walking up the Mount Nebo, you know how important it was for them for burial. Burial for them is really precious. And now he's even wondering who's going to bury me, but he did not question. He learned to wait upon God. He was there. And while he was there, the Lord showed him Canaan. This is the land that you are not allowed to enter. Isn't it a torture, friends? It looks cruel, isn't it? I closed my Bible again. And the Lord waited on me until my heart was ready. And while I was reading, friends, just imagine, it's bad enough that he'll not be able to go to Canaan. But to dangle it in front of him, it's like a hungry kid and you dangle a burger in front of that kid. A vegan burger, of course. And he was there. And my heart was just sinking. But the Lord somehow compelled me to just go on reading. And you know what's one thing that really broke my heart? Listen to this, friends. Listen to this. He was not beyond temptation. And there was a mystery and awfulness about the scene before him from which his heart shrank. Listen. He was in full vigor of health with all his powers in active exercise. He was not dying. Did you get this? He was in full vigor and everything was in active exercise. He could outrun kids. He could have questioned God, "Lord, why? If you say go, I will run right now." Friends, it is a different story if you're dying. Then you'll not be allowed. But all his powers in active exercise. But he did not object God. He learned his lesson. He learned how to depend on God. And he waited on God. And when I continued reading on, the Lord opened before him the panorama of everything. The Lord showed him the children of Israel conquering the Canaanites. The Lord showed him the rise and fall of Israel. The Lord showed him the apostasy of Israel. The Lord showed him even in the future, the Son of God came to the manger to be man for us. The Lord showed him the ministry of Jesus. The Lord showed him Jesus hanging on the cross. And the Lord showed him Jesus resurrected back. And then the Lord closed his eyes. And when Moses died, friends, when Moses died, who came to his funeral? Satan. Satan came to claim his body because death now claimed Moses' body. If you see in Jude, you know what? Jesus did not go into controversy with Satan. And if you read there, Jesus used the word Michael. You know what the word Michael means? Friends, when Jesus uses the word Michael, you know what that means? He's ready for war. He fought for Moses. And when Satan came to claim the body of Moses, Jesus did this. Talk to the hand. Friends, Jesus closed the eyes of Moses. And the moment Moses woke up, imagine you are Moses. When Moses woke up, the first person that he saw was the God whom he desires to see. Remember when he requested to the Lord, "Show me thy glory." And he only saw the back portion of that glory, a glimpse. But right now he's looking at him face to face. When Moses woke up, he was not in the land of Canaan. He was in heavenly Canaan. Friends, the moment I realized what God has done for Moses, I was so ashamed. I was so ashamed for even pointing my finger to God. I was even so ashamed for complaining to God, from telling God he's unfair. Because I know, friends, that Moses did not complain when he opened his eyes and saw that he was in heavenly Canaan. Friends, what God desires for us is heavenly Canaan. Most of the time, we put our lives on the line for earthly Canaan. Earthly Canaan is nothing compared to heavenly Canaan. And friends, God is offering us something. God is giving us something that is beneficial for us. Beneficial for our trip to heavenly Canaan. He says, "Take up my cross and follow me." Friends, that rich young ruler was not able to see Jesus. And will not be able to see Jesus. The Lord desires for each one of us right now to take on that offer. And friends, you might be wondering, "Oh, how about the cost that it will take us?" Friends, the cost is worth it. Amen? I love to read this beautiful quote to you, friends. It says here, "Of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon man, fellowship with Christ in his suffering is the most weighty trust and highest honor." And remember, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And all the while I thought that the Father turned his back from his Son. Listen to this, friends. Desire of Ages 753, paragraph 4. "In that thick darkness, God's presence was hidden. He makes darkness his pavilion and conceals his glory from human eyes. God and his holy angels were beside the cross. The Father was with his Son." Amen. Friends, look at this. There's no record in the scripture that the Father was physically with his Son than in the cross. In the deepest, darkest of Christ's trial, the Father was with his Son. And friends, let me remind you of that beautiful verse again. "In his presence is fullness of joy." We may face the greatest trials. We may face the greatest tribulation in the end. But if we are in the presence of God, my dear friends, I will suggest that there is joy. Amen? As we close this morning, and as we sing this song, our closing song, "Take My Life and Let It Be," I'd like to make an appeal. Because I know God has been speaking to our hearts. If it is your desire to say to the Lord right now, "Lord, take over my plans. I desire to lean upon you. I've been failing again and again. Leaning on my own strength. It has gotten me lost so many times. I want to see you leading in my life. Teach me how to wait upon you." If that is your desire, I invite you to come forward. Bring your hymnals with you. Come. And I will offer a special word of prayer. Friends, like that rich young ruler, Christ is very much interested in every decision that we make. And like that ruler, his heart is yearning somehow. Yearning for us to choose him. Yearning for us to take up his cross and follow him. Friends, there's no point of pursuing life without pursuing Christ. Let us sing this beautiful song. Verse 4.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
Let's sing 5 a cappella.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee.
For those of you who are able to kneel, please kneel. For those of you who have difficulty kneeling down, just stay where you're at. Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, the God who has plans for our lives, the God who desires us to lean fully on Him, the God who has been waiting for us. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Our hearts long for your heart. And Lord, today we just like to ask for forgiveness for the moments that we have failed you. For the moments, dear Father, that we put our plans first before your plans for us. Forgive us, Lord, for not trusting you with our plans. Forgive us, Lord, for clinging on to our earthly plans when what you have for us is exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Lord, please forgive us for rejecting what you have for us. But this time, dear Father, we praise you and we thank you that you have spoken to each and every heart here. And Lord, I ask that you please continue to reveal to us the reality of our choices. Help us, Lord, to know that without you in our lives, we are not living at all. Dear Father, I pray that you please teach us not to lean on our own strength, not to lean on the past glories, past victories and successes. Help us, Lord, to lean fully upon you. And dear Father, as individuals, as families, as a church, teach us, Lord, how to wait. How to wait upon you. Dear God, I pray, help us, Lord, to know that the times that we're living is borrowed time. Help us, Lord, to know that every choice that we make will have eternal consequences or eternal reward. Lord, please help us to choose reward. Help us, Lord, to choose Jesus. Lord, we praise and we thank you that you have given us all provisions. All provision, Lord, to choose heaven. So, Lord, I ask that right now, may you anoint each and every person here. Those who came forward and those who in their hearts have come forward. Lord, I pray that you please speak. Speak clearly to us. Help us, Lord, to know that you would not let us go without a fight. The way you have fought for Moses, you will fight for us. And Lord, please help us to long to be in your presence, no matter what it takes. If it takes persecution, if it takes away our possession, even if it takes away our influence, or even our lives, Lord, help us, Lord, to be in your presence. Help us to choose Jesus. And Lord, I pray in a very special way that the commitment that was made here will be sealed for eternity. Teach us, Lord, how to abide with you. Dear Father, I pray that you please help us, teach us not to let go. And thank you so much, Lord, because you have promised neither life nor death nor anything, nothing could separate us from you. Thank you so much, Lord, because we know that we are praying to a God who hears and answers prayer. So, Lord, I pray that you please pour your Spirit upon us. Anoint each one, O Lord, with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. From the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet, Lord, please make us overflow. And please give us the burning desire to see Jesus. A burning desire to be with Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, because it is your highest desire to be with us. So, Lord, please draw us closer and closer to your heart. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. For we pray all this in the loving name of your Son, Jesus, all your children say. Amen. Amen.